Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live once again from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you by On Fire Ministries and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. And we are now taking over John Loeffler's Steel on Steel spot here on the American Christian Network, 6 p.m. on Saturdays and on Sundays at noon across KTW. And John Loeffler, we thank you for all of your years of service to this country and getting the truth out. May God bless you. And I know you're really, truly not going into retirement. Nobody ever does. But we look forward to hearing again from you soon. Quickly about On Fire Ministries. If you're passing through Spokane, Washington, 10 a.m. on Sunday, come visit a service. If you are looking for a place that preaches the gospel of the kingdom and also is unafraid to talk about the issues of the day from a biblical and a Western perspective, come check it out. This is the place you've been looking for. Welcome home. I want to talk really quickly today about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ. And we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. Ephesians 2:19 through 22 says this: "So then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling or habitation of God in the Spirit." Right now, in our country, it is a time for action. What appears to be happening in China, which we are going to get to here in a second, should prompt you to action. At the same time, there's great trial. There's also great opportunity. And the two things go hand in hand. So we can't be afraid that trial is coming, but we need to be looking at the opportunity that is here to restore Western civilization and to ditch the globalist reset, ditch the idea of a global religion, ditch the idea of a global government, and press into the decentralization. I'm going to say it again, the decentralization of not only government, but our entire economy. And when we do that, we don't run into globalists trying to hoard power again and lord it over all of us. The Georgia Guidestones being destroyed here a few weeks ago, most people kind of glossed over the fact that on one of those Guidestones, it said that they wanted to reduce the population of the world to 500 million people. In other words, go from 7 billion plus to 500 million. And so in the context of what we're talking about today, they want war, because that is one of the quickest ways to reduce population numbers, because along with wars comes plagues and famines. So they want war. This is not supposed to make sense. People keep trying to find reasons. Well, they're following their plan. This is what they want to do. They want to sow chaos, ride in on a white horse, and somehow say, okay, we've tried it all the old ways. We now have to have global government. Look, they did this after World War I with the League of Nations. Didn't work. They did it after World War II with the United Nations, and that has not worked. And the United States has been one of the biggest, if not the biggest, stumbling block to their plans. And that's why they're trying to take this country down right now. There are elements inside our country bought and paid for by the communist Chinese, some of them in bed with jihadis and the Muslim Brotherhood. And people are still saying, well, they would never want that. Yes, they actually do want it to happen. These are people that went to Yale and Harvard. They're smart enough. And so we need to be pressing into our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ right now. We need to be not just praying, but asking him, Lord, what do you want me to be doing in this time? How am I supposed to be spending my time for your glory and honor and praise? So I would leave you with that. Pray with your family tonight to get his vision of how he sees you, your family, and where he sees you and what he sees you doing in this time. And if you need a scripture for that, go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And now, the daily intelligence briefing on the international front. Travis is going to be pulling up here very quickly, day 162. The Russians continue their offensives in the Donbass and down near Kherson. And in that area in the south, they are facing a stiff resistance from the Ukrainians who have damaged two bridges across the Dnieper River, which is effectively cutting off the Russian advance in that area. Now, the Russians are holding hostage the nuclear power plant at Zaporizhia. And the whole point behind this is now the Russians are saying, now we were taking all of Ukraine. Well, as you heard on this radio show 8 months ago, Vladimir Putin very clearly said in 2005, 2013, and last July, that he wanted to invade Ukraine to restore the former Soviet Union. These are communists. They are hell-bent on their own world order. And obviously, the Russians are connected to the communist Chinese. This should clear up any notions of how Putin views things, that he is a former KGB man and believes that this is the third iteration of the Eastern Roman Empire. And you can read it. You can listen to it. The people I've talked to from the streets of Moscow have said this. And people say, well, are you saying the United States should get involved? The whole point is the globalists want this conflict so that they can diminish the United States of America, that they can do a controlled decline of America. Well, that's not going to happen while we still have breath in our lungs, those who are Christians and patriots. Now, as I've been talking about before, the Russian army right now has been in a fairly lengthy operational pause. They have lost literally over half of their armor of their entire military, almost a third of their armored personnel carriers, and they're approaching 20% of their artillery pieces, in addition to many reports that it's over 50,000 soldiers that have been killed on the Russian side. Now, the Ukrainians have suffered the same amount of casualties. But one thing that keeps going unreported is there is a massive revival happening in Ukraine right now on the ground. And it is the largest Christian nation in Europe right now. So we need to take a look at the spiritual component of this as well. The globalists want the United States to continue to provoke. And so then there's basically a two-front war that comes out of this. There is a great article out there. It's called The 10 Maps That Explain Russian Strategy. And you've heard me talk about this on the show before. The Russians need to have in the Black Sea some footprint, some access, because the only other access that they have is all the way up at near St. Petersburg, way in the north. And that is a cold water port. And then even farther north up in Murmansk. Those are the places that the Russians see is very strategic to their survival. That's why they are fighting to capture that southern coastline of Ukraine and the Black Sea. The other point that I would bring in is traditionally the Russians have been invaded from three directions, from south through the Caucasus Mountains. And there's actually some valleys there that their enemies traditionally would come through. Well, they've sealed that off effectively by occupying down there and also having some strategic relationships in the Nagorno-Karabakh in this disputed region between Azerbaijan and Armenia. But they also were traditionally invaded through the plain, through Poland, that goes into Ukraine. And that's why they are so absolutely sensitive to this. Now, the Chinese also have this issue of the Malacca Straits. And right now, they're trying to bypass the Malacca Straits by rebuilding the Silk Road through their Belt and Road Initiative and also through the Himalayan Mountains down through Pakistan to Lahore, Pakistan. And the only problem is the Indian government and army stands in their way at the line of actual control. That's why there's been skirmishes there. So look for the next couple of months that this is going to increase in that area specifically as the Chinese try to open up a second supply route via land. They already had the Silk Road through Afghanistan, but a second supply route via land over the Himalayan mountains. So look for some unrest there and potentially the Chinese army trying to seize that corridor through the Himalayan mountains or try to negotiate something with the Indian government. Now, I want to move next to what is happening with something we predicted. We talked about how they appeared, the Chinese, that they are within D minus 60 for the invasion of Taiwan. Back in May, we spoke about a leaked audio file from a meeting of the Chinese military. It very clearly said they were going to start repositioning units and repositioning headquarters elements in anticipation of securing the Silk Road, that Himalayan mountain corridor, and invading Taiwan. We talked about 2 weeks ago how the North Korean military moved tactical nuclear weapons to their frontline artillery units, and we talked about how the Chinese now have moved headquarters units to these two areas, one on the Western frontier and one near this line of actual control over the Himalayan mountains. Well, now they are moving en masse supplies and large concentrations of units to Fujian, which is right across from the Taiwanese Strait. They held exercises which have effectively blockaded Taiwan, which has a very limited supply. You're talking 2 to 3 months supply of gasoline, natural gas. We know that their military also has fuel supplies, 60 to 90 days. Might be more, but the Chinese look like they're trying to strangle Taiwan right now under the guise of an ongoing military exercise. We're going to talk with our guest today about why Nancy Pelosi went there and the narratives that they're trying to paint, just like they did prior to Russia invading Ukraine. The same narrative trying to pin on the patriots and Christians in this country. Donald Trump is with Russia, and then so must you be. And we're actually against the Russians, even though they've been in bed with the communists for decades, both Chinese communists and Russian communists, and their recent iteration of that under the Putin regime. So this article, you can listen to this article in this leaked audio file. It's at Restoring Liberty, published by Joe Miller, doing a great job there. But the communist Chinese have now moved their timetable up to the September-October timeframe. There's another article, but it's called The Real War by David Pine. You can read that. Why he believes they've moved it up. Well, we know that now. So what do we look for here in the next couple of weeks? We look for the Chinese moving up air defense units to Fujian and their coastline. We look for the Chinese moving up hospital units to the same area. We also, right now, they don't have the lift capability to invade Taiwan. In other words, they don't have the boats to bring tanks and troops over to Taiwan yet. We looked for a concentration of the lift capability of China to invade Taiwan. We also look for the redeployment of forces in North Korea, very similarly to the demilitarized zone right outside of it. So in the next few weeks, be watching this on the news. And as you see it happen on the news, you know it's getting closer that the actual invasion is going to happen. Right now, they're just blockading, but you'll know that it's getting closer. This is the same analysis that we used to accurately predict that Russia was going to invade Ukraine right after the Olympics, almost to the day. So keep looking at this from the various news sources, and you don't have to, it doesn't matter which news source, as long as there's corroboration of this, you know that the timeline is moving up. All right. There's also an article that I think everybody out there in Patriot Radio Land needs to read. It's from And Magazine. We've had Sam Faddis on here recently. Does Joe Biden work for the Chinese Communist Party? I'm going to leave that hanging in the air until we get our guest on. But everyone needs to absolutely read this and understand that there are some things that are beginning to happen in America that really show we are very close to seeing Taiwan invaded and perhaps a world war. I'm going to shift now. Before I get to the national front, I'm going to actually shift to the local front first. One of the things that we should look for now, if we are very close to something happening, is the Chinese attempting to cause disruption in America. We should be looking for Antifa, the John Brown Gun Club, Socialist Rifle Association, Redneck Revolt, Black Lives Matter, and other organizations that are now changing names by the week, Jane's Revenge, having an uptick in civil unrest. Watch for this over the next few weeks. Also watch for the appearance, especially in cities, of Mexican gang members and the increase of the trafficking of fentanyl in cities. This is all part of a Chinese plan to help disrupt America, sow more chaos in the streets. So watch for these things happening in your local area. And we're actually already beginning to see it in Spokane, Washington. This, again, an intelligence picture. The Chinese are already advising Mexican cartels and South American cartels, and they have already given them the technical expertise and may actually be importing en masse. They're already doing some, but en masse fentanyl into Mexico particularly, and then across the southern border, which is obviously so porous right now, to America. So watch for these disruption things to begin happening over the next couple of months. And if you are a city leader listening to this broadcast right now, if you are a pastor with street ministries listening to this broadcast right now, if you do street evangelism and you're listening to this broadcast right now, if you see this stuff begin to happen, message us here at Patriot Radio and let us know what city you're in and what you're seeing on the ground. You can always do that anonymously. Travis can get you set up with that, but you can do the initial messaging on any of the great real social media sites like Gab, Getter, MeWe, Parler, etc. But make sure you're sharing this information. We're all in this together as one team to help restore this great republic and defend it in America. All right, now I'm gonna intro our guest here in a second. That's the briefing, and I want to do it by Travis showing some images right now, because Project Veritas, once again, breaking news with this FBI training materials designate certain historic American symbols as evidence of militia violent extremists. Now, I want to say something really quick. I am absolutely offended that they are targeting U.S. veterans, some of whom actually used to work for the FBI and for the intelligence community, who fought real extremists like I did in Iraq, in Bosnia, in these other folks, in Afghanistan. I was only in the first two. We actually fought against real extremists. We know what they look like. We know their ideology. They're communists and jihadis. We know what they're doing. We know who they are. And yet what the American government is doing right now is calling the people who fought real extremists, who fought real terrorists, now they're calling the terrorists. This is a tactic, a technique out of the book 1984. Up is down, down is up. Peace is war, war is peace. Good is bad, bad is good. There's a book somewhere that talks about that, Travis. It's called the Bible. We love this country, and those of us who have risked our lives to fight terrorists around the world, every single one of us should be absolutely offended at this stuff. Because here's some of the things that they're saying are extremist. Let's bring up first, Travis, the appeal to heaven flag, the tree of liberty, saying this is offensive. Well, this was the very first flag that George Washington flew over his cruisers in America, in the American Revolutionary War. And it acknowledged A, God, and B, that this cause was just. But apparently, that kind of history, they don't want. Well, we're going to make sure everybody knows about it. The second is there's a flag from Texas, come and take it flag, that they're saying if you are pro Second Amendment, that you now must be a militia violent extremist, even though that's what it says in our own constitution and most state constitutions, by the way. They also are saying now that the Betsy Ross flag, so our actual historic flag, which, by the way, all historic flags can be flown at events and can be used in formal celebrations. They're now saying that is a sign of extremism. Well, our history, our constitution aren't extreme. Only those who are coming against it, and they are self-identifying right now. And this is what our oath meant. We took our oath and we said we will defend this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. This is what it meant. People who are trying to destroy the Constitution and turn it on its head and basically say the Constitution itself is extreme, that the revolution itself is extreme, even though out of that revolution was born the greatest country in the history of the world that put out the most missionaries, the most money, and has transformed the world for good in so many different ways. That's what they're trying to turn on its head. And one of the last images is the image of the Minuteman Patriot. The iconic image, which is actually used to denote the National Guard, they're now trying to say is extreme. Well, history is not extreme. Only those who are trying to rewrite it in a communist narrative. And that's why I am bringing on my guest today, Mark Sutherland, who's calling us right now on the phone live from England. We're going to talk about what they're trying to do in these next few months and why it is so important, that people not just in America see this, but that people around the world see this, and that we band together to preserve liberty in Western civilization. Mark is a filmmaker. He's co-produced a number of short films that have really exposed what is happening here in the United States, but what's also happening in Western civilization. And Mark is also, I think, one of the most outspoken truth tellers in Europe. Mark, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. It's always great to have you on. Blessings to you. And you can find him at marksutherland.org.
Absolute privilege to join you again, my friend. I think you flatter me, but I appreciate what you're saying. We are now living in a time when truth is seen as a complete criminal act. And what you have just laid out in regard to this flag is a terrorist act. Like, I've got my Don't Tread on Me behind here. I've got my Don't Tread on Me mug here. The fact that they are trying to push this narrative, and we all know why, because it means that they then take the situation of Jan 6 and this terrible situation where people have been imprisoned in your country for exercising their constitutional right. Anyone that has called that an insurrection, including various politicians, I'll say it, like Ted Cruz, I'm sorry, these people need to go. They are undermining the Constitution of the United States. Suddenly, believing in freedom means that we are now being persecuted. And Matt, before I continue, I just want to say this. I am absolutely blessed by the fact that you open up your broadcast talking about our Lord and Savior and talking about the gospel, because without it, I don't know how we are going to get through what we are seeing potentially coming down the pipe, my friend.
You're absolutely right. It's only with God as the center of our lives and as the solution that we're going to get through this. And I know that we were talking before the show a little bit about, you know, how absolutely unbelievable it is to take American historical icons and try to turn those things into some sort of a terrorist symbol. But that's the world that we're living in right now. And it's not just in America. It's also in England.
I couldn't agree more. Otherwise, you know, 1776 wouldn't have happened. The explanation of that, of, you know, no taxation without representation, the fact that you took on the most powerful army at that time in the world and eventually defeated us, as we might have mentioned before, in guerrilla warfare, you became experts. If you were fighting us on the open field where we would have three lines of muskets ready to fire at you, that was difficult. But the fact that then we thought we could take our red jackets and march through your forestry and wouldn't be seen, that's a little bit of a joke. But you defeated us. The fact that you're going to cross the waterways on Christmas Day and take us by surprise, you then learned how to fight. The issue that we have, to me, right now, is that the Constitution of the United States, as Victor Davis Hanson, the great historian that you have on your side of the pond, said very recently, that during the 60s is when you turn things educationally, where young people were not taught civics, were not taught the basis of the Constitution. I had couple of days ago, I was interviewing our friend and the great Alex Newman. And Alex then was reminding me about the fact that after the First World War, the demise of family and beginning to push certain social structures, the fact that the whole sort of, as we call, government schools began to open up, Dewey setting all that up, very left-wing thinking, and that homeschooling in that sense became under attack. But it's the fact that we have not been teaching young people to have pride in what America stands for and the Constitution. Now, it may seem very strange to some people that I am talking about these issues, and I'm in the UK and I am British, and we had a little fracas in 1776. But the key thing is this: if America goes down, then the whole of Western civilization, it goes down with it. Now, I love books. I love research. I'm in my studio, but it's also like a little library. This book, Green Tyranny, we look at the Green New Deal. Rupert Darwell's book, which is brilliant, explains the whole thing of the worship of Gaia, the worship of, you know, the Green New Deal and everything. Its roots are actually in Nazism. But in this book, he says that the piece of paper that stands in the way of a global government is the Constitution of the United States. And you, what fascinates me and what absolutely thrills my heart is that you, in your ministry as a pastor, you're not afraid to discuss these issues publicly. You are not afraid to discuss these issues on a Sunday, which reminds me of the most feared regiment that the Americans had in 1776, which was the Black Robe Regiment. And Alex Newman was talking about the fact that he is now spending time training pastors, talking about history, talking about the fact that this is not a conspiratorial. So as Alex threw out, and I completely agree, that if we turn around and say that the First World War, do me a favor, was not created by the shooting of Archduke Ferdinand.
Right.
Coming into what we now see with China and Taiwan. This present administration, the unfortunate thing is that NATO is the military arm of the new world order. We have seen the fact that you've got America being used to then create certain push. Some people maybe, I don't mean to cause any offense, But the League of Nations happened. Then we go into the UN. I don't have to school you or anyone about that. But people have then, they've then used the NATO to turn around and say, right, we're now going to invade Libya. We're now going to do this. We're now going to do that. And very brave men and women on your side of the pond are then caught up in that, as very brave men and women on this side of the pond are then caught up in that. We are now seeing the fact it's a huge debate, but the issue is, as Putin has turned around and said, if NATO turns around and says, right, we want to welcome Ukraine into NATO, in the past, when they've turned around and said, we wanted to welcome Georgia in, and the Russians turned around and said, no, we're not going to have that. We have also created the deliberate provoking. I will say that. That may be offensive to some. Now, on the other hand, we have now got Pelosi flying off. She's been to Taiwan. Now, maybe she's checking whether her insider dealings in investing into computer chips is doing extremely well, and also trying to provide a distraction from the fact that her husband is just going to potentially be done for a DUI in California. And you need to look into that, of how disgusting. There seems to be two schools of the law in your country. Those people that are rich can pay and get out of it, while the rest of the true patriots and all the rest are then standing before judges that actually don't believe in the legal system within your country.
Well,
Pelosi goes over there. I want to do
a quick context real quick. Just a quick context. So the Ukraine is the plane that I was talking about on that map that, that Russia traditionally is invaded through. Well, also so is Georgia. And so when you when you're trying to do these machinations in these two countries, of course the Russians are going to be upset about it. But then on the other side, you have Putin, who has said he wants to reinstitute the Soviet Union and also absorb those republics in. But that all goes to the same thing that Russia has always had to fight over those areas. Sorry, go ahead.
No, and I agree. And then we throw in the fact that, you know, was he a member of the World Economic Forum youth training scheme, you know, in meetings with Carl Schwab and all this sort of thing, the complete lunatic that wrote this book, The Fourth Industrial Revolution. I won't do my Nazi impersonation of Klaus Schwab, which is just an absolutely appalling individual. But the World Economic Forum is then pushing also all of this disruption. There is the puppet masters behind. Now, you and I could have a discussion about Stephen Bandera's, the following of that during the 30s, during the 40s, the whole Nazism and what has gone on within the Ukraine and that side of thing. Then we look at the Victoria Nuland and the coup in 2014, etc., etc. That is all then all on the table. But going, then we look at what's happening in Taiwan and China. They are then desperate for another war. They are absolutely desperate from this. At the beginning of the show, you talked about the Georgia Guidestones. You talked about the fact that we've got 7 billion people on the planet. The Georgia Guidestones go down to 500 million. Let's remind ourselves also, and you're absolutely right, war then will decimate populations far quicker. But let's remind ourselves, tied in with that, Bill Gates makes a speech in 2015, a TED talk, going, well, with vaccinations and healthcare, we will lower the population from, you know, 9 billion or whatever to 7.5 billion. Why am I joining the two issues? This is a full frontal attack in so many different ways of what we are seeing, of what these globalists are actually doing. And personally, you know, they just want to provoke. So you quite rightly, as you've said, the Chinese are now holding live fire practice around Taiwan. If Taiwan is then invaded, all those computer chips, etc., will not be exported to other Western nations anymore. I am fully aware recent, just within minutes, hours, the New American has just published a an article where they talk about the fact that Washington, D.C. is now going, right, we need to get behind the computer industry. We're now to invest in chip making and all the rest. Remember, over time, when Zablinsky went to China in 1972, you and I could also go back to the 50s of when suddenly, and I always murder his name, when America is supporting Sun Chai-shek at that time, the overseas department then turns around and says, well, we're now, you know, we're going to let Mao win, basically because it was all full of a bunch of lefties. We That's try right. and remind ourselves about some of the comments that Eisenhower, who I'm not saying was a perfect individual, but there were some interesting things he has said, as well as speaking about the military industrial complex. But we remember when he talked about dealing with the lefties inside the State Department, et cetera, et cetera. All these kind of issues. So history, this has been the long game. So when Zablinsky goes to China in 1972, and there is a conversation about creating a technocracy. China is a technocracy. UBI, Universal Basic Income. If you are a good citizen, right, of China, a good paid-up member of the Chinese Communist Party. Now, let's be frank. The amount of Christians in China, the numbers are incredible. The suffering that they have been through, as we talk about when Mao came through, etc., they have been through so much, and the church has grown. So this two-tier thing that's going on. So they then build the technocracy, which is what I think it's either called Project Dragonfly or whatever, Google, the whole lot. That is what they want to then bring into America. That, and they're doing their damnedest. You know as well as I do, a few years ago, when the NSA had to admit, there was a whistleblower where he talked about the amount of spying that is done on American citizens. And of course, when we talk about Russia, we've had 5 spy agencies all involved in spying on the Trump campaign. So China, the globalists want that. China is the model. This is what they want. They want the control. And this has been a totally long game, Matt. Out of anyone I talk to, like with Alex Newman, etc., I don't have to tell you this. You are one of the most versed people in this issue and what has been going on. What saddens me, what absolutely saddens me to the bottom of my little toes, is the fact that people are not waking up to this fast enough. They really are not. The danger is now inside the camp. And what you're saying about Biden, yes, the Hunter Biden laptop, we have to give money to the big man. There is Hunter getting off planes when Biden is flying to China. Biden has been to World Economic Forum meetings. I could go on and on and on. I think it's Bob Babaleski or whatever his name is, when he came out and did an interview making no money whatsoever and revealing what has been going on with the crime syndicate that seems to pass the CIA, which seems to be the Biden family. I mean, it is, the links are scary, Matt. And personally, yes, I think he is working for them. They have got things on him or that family, the amount of millions that they have been paid. So you've got, as I say, this is the art of war. The Chinese have crept and crept. You've had warnings, I think, since the late 90s. And I'm trying to think of the military individual that talks about this, about the growth of China. I'll take a breath a minute.
So I want to highlight one big thing right now. So this is the art of war. I want to get into what's going on in England as well, so people understand that. But this is fifth generation war. It is the battle of ideas and narratives that we are seeing right now. And the narrative, you need to understand that this implies this is planned. the narrative was in 2016, tie Trump to Russia because they knew Russia was going to invade Ukraine. And the people who had been in bed with the communists for decades and their new iteration under the Putin regime, they knew that they had to come across as looking like they're fighting them. So the best way to do that, we'll pin it on Trump. He must be colluding with Russians. The thing is a total hoax. It was a narrative attack against Trump prior to the Russians invading Ukraine, so that when World War III breaks out, they can use it as an excuse to say, if anybody's associated with Putin and through Trump, then we're going to use that as a pretext to arrest them, and they will be considered domestic terrorists. The other part of this is all part of the narrative scheme. We started with the FBI symbols and all that. Anybody who believes in historical symbols now is tied to that. You see how they're painting this. Well, now Pelosi flies to Taiwan, does a great photo op, because they know that China is going to invade Taiwan. And so now the Democrats and the communists here in this country want to make it look like they're fighting the very communists who they actually have been in bed with for years. So this is the narrative war that's happening. And as we have that context talking about what the globalists want to do, I think it's very important to also talk about what's happening in England. With me on Patriot Radio right now, Mark Sutherland, live from England, very late there. Thank you for staying up to do this show, Mark. He's a filmmaker and also one of the great truth tellers right now in Europe, marksutherland.org. Mark, what is happening right now in England?
I just want to come to that. Remember Pelosi into Tiananmen Square? So there she is going on about democracy in China. What about the poor prisoners that are locked up after Jan 6? She doesn't seem to care about that. The woman's exactly. Hypocrisy, I cannot even describe the stench that comes out of her backside personally. Excuse that, but that's the truth of it. So what's happening over here? Well, we've just had a very interesting situation in the fact that Boris Johnson has stepped down. There has been a media, as far as I'm concerned, and you could argue on one level, a media coup. But let's just go back. This is the man. He's always been a bit of a populist, libertarian and all this kind of thing. When he was mayor of London, he pushed LGBTQ rights and the Pride March in London and all the rest. I'll just put that out there. Then suddenly he becomes the poster boy for the fact that, in June 2016, 17,410,742 people, with a majority of over 1 million, voted out to leave the other leg of global governance, the European Union. As soon as we joined the European Union in 1973, we lost the sovereignty of our nation. When we signed to join, the piles of paper, there's a video somewhere, it's about, six, seven foot tall, all the contracts that were then brought in. What is going on? Well, the populists that led Brexit, that said we're going to get Brexit done, when he became leader of the excuse of a Conservative Party, I call it, a lot of the MPs are not Conservative. They wouldn't know what to conserve if they were inside a paper bag. But there are many people on the grassroots, on the ground, who are true Conservatives. But when he came in, before the election in November of 2016, he made a speech at the UN, which made me, I needed to find a brick wall to bash my head against. I was just absolutely shocked in that I missed this. Boris Johnson was talking about nanotechnology. He made a comment about anti-vaxxers and all this kind of thing. What did he know what was coming down the pipe at that point? And I thought, oh my goodness me. I voted for this man. I thought he believed in Brexit. And now he's coming out with a load of stuff that sounds very globalist to me. So this was in 2019. He became extremely woke in a very short space of time, thanks to his now wife, Carrie Johnson, who I believe has contributed to his downfall. He became extremely liberal. Dominic Cummings, his advisor, in regard to all things Brexit, was kicked out, etc., etc. And Dominic Cummings wanted to reform what we call our civil service, our public workers. And you could argue that the country is run by 150 top civil servants in this country. He then, Boris Johnson, went because of the scandal of Partygate. There's number 11 and there's number 10. Number 10 is where the Prime Minister lives. Number 11 is where the Chancellor of the Exchequer lives. You could argue that most of the parties happened in number 11 with a bunch of civil servants after work, laughing at the rest of us in this country who were in lockdowns, who couldn't see our relatives, where relatives were in old people's homes, you couldn't see them. They were either being, killed by midazolam or remdesivir and all this kind of thing. We've got those big scandals to follow down the line. Then they roll out all these vaccines and all the rest. So he makes that kind of speech at the UN. He then becomes ill and gets COVID. And I have a certain view on that. So then, and as a human being, as someone when he was young, as a close friend of mine pointed out, as a kid, he had huge asthma problems or he had huge breathing problems. So he became, as far as I'm concerned, profoundly woke. Every night it would be, lockdown, save the National Health Service and all this kind of thing. The media in this country, who are a bunch of lefty remainers, wanted his scalp. So they did whatever they could. And to some extent, there is no doubt about it, Boris Johnson didn't help himself. So we see all that going on, Matt. How come, and it's been reported, that the day before he stood down, Mr. Gates flies into the country. The man that learned how to put a virus on your Microsoft computer and is now dead on the fact that he wants to put a virus in every single human being because he has a genocide agenda. If anyone disagrees with me, then kindly please prove me wrong. So he flies in, and then Boris Johnson then resigns. There was another scandal in regard to an MP and some of his sexual impropriety. So we had no option but to resign. So where we are now, we have two people that are vying for the leadership of the Conservative Party. And if you are leadership of the Conservative Party and you have won a national election in this country, you all automatically become Prime Minister. We have one person called Liz Truss and we have one person called Rishi Sunak. Rishi Sunak is basically the man that did Annetu Bruti and stuck a knife in Boris Johnson's back and pushed him out the door. The interesting thing about Sunak, he has links because of his Asian background. He is extremely wealthy, married into a very wealthy family. He's clever, done well. He has a green card. He regularly seems to fly out to tech meetings in California. That's rather interesting. So did Dominic Cummings, to be fair. But the key is this, is that there looks like, through business dealings in India, a Chinese link. The Chinese, in their PR, sent a message out going, we think Rishi Sunak will be a fantastic prime minister for the UK. You cannot make that up. So we then have Liz Truss as well, who at one point would have called herself a fairly left of centre, liberal democrat, and has been on this supposed journey of a conservative. We cannot have Rishi Sunak as prime minister. The globalists want to really bring him in. So that's what's going on. And the link between Russia, the link between spy agencies is this, and I've sent you two articles. A couple of days ago, GCHQ, that spy agency, our central hub of intelligence, I think founded round about 1917, just before that, GCHQ sent out a little directive saying, we're very concerned that the election or Tory leader or prime minister of this country is going to be hacked. What it's saying is that all the ballots are going out to the 200,000 members of the Conservative Party. Now, I am sure they're not going to use Diebold voting machines, or they're not going to use Dominion voting machines. I'm sure they're not going to use Smartomatic, and I'm sure that Lord Malik Brown is not involved in it at all. I am deliberately saying those things because it refers to the fact of the fraud that went on in 2020. This is a subject for another nightmare, but the fraud that's going on, how all of that is used in elections around the world. Now, I'm hoping it's paper ballots. Who counts it? I'm not sure. I need to find that out. You and I both know that the best electoral system, and it's what you are fighting to get back to in your country, is a paper ballot taken to a ballot box. It's put in the ballot box, and then after that, you would have scrutineers to watch how the ballots are then counted. The fact that we have a spy agency starting to pull a fast one to say, oh, we're concerned, you might have to delay the election. I just think this sounds very familiar, my dear friend.
It does sound very familiar, very familiar. We have about 2 minutes left, Mark. In the last 2 minutes, any final closing thoughts, especially for those of us in America who are waking up in the right way to what is going on?
Well, my closing thoughts are, and I'm speaking to me, I want you to hear me, is that we need to be praying. We need to be fasting about what is going on. Ephesians 6 says that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. We are in the biggest spiritual battle of our lifetime. And as Hosea 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed through lack of knowledge. All we can do is scream and scream and scream our heads off and sound the alarm. This time, it isn't the fact that the British are coming. It's this time that the globalists are really, really trying to completely and utterly destroy America and completely undermine what it stands for. And I can only plead to my dear brothers and sisters and dear American friends, turn the football off, turn the sports off, and start looking about what is going on. Because if you don't, you will not have a country anymore. Do I believe in biblical prophecy? Yes. Do I believe in what the book of Revelation says? Yes. But do I believe in the fact that God asks us to stand until Christ's return? It doesn't mean that we don't do nothing. It means we push back as much as we can.
Perfect. MarkSutherland.org. Mark Sutherland, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. God bless you. Keep up the fight there in England. And the next time you get a chance to come to America, we would love to have you here at On Fire Ministries in Spokane, Washington.
I would be honored to join you. And thank you very much, Matt, for having me on.
Mark Sutherland, MarkSutherland.org. Check him out. Filmmaker. And check out one of the ones that really caught my attention from him was Between Lambs and Lions, and also Flexit, the movie. And how he is showing exactly how all these things fit into the narrative that the globalists want to take down Western civilization, and particularly the United States of America. I'm going to conclude the show today by talking about a couple events coming up. August 21st, 6 p.m., Riverfront Park in downtown Spokane, Sean Foyt and Let Us Worship coming to Spokane, Washington. And we are so excited about this. This is going to be a night of revival. Share this with your friends and family. August 21st. It's a Sunday night, 6 p.m., downtown Spokane at the Riverfront Park Pavilion. It's going to be gorgeous, and it's going to be a tremendous move of God. If you want to join together in unity, now's the time to do it. This is being sponsored by Turning Point USA and On Fire Ministries. I'm sorry, Turning Point Faith and On Fire Ministries, and we are partnering with many other churches here locally as well. And we're going to be getting some more information out on that very shortly. Please share that, and we'll see you then on August 21st. Also coming up, September 8, 9, and 10, Dr. Emmanuel Ziga is having his annual Holy Spirit Fire Conference in downtown Spokane at the Convention Center. Andrei Shapoval, Mish Fomenko, along with several other speakers, including Cal Pierce, are going to be there. It's a great time to press into the Lord, especially with everything that is happening right now around the world. And if you are a pastor, listen carefully. October 16th through October 19th at the Coeur d'Alene Resort, October 16th through 19th, at the Coeur d'Alene Resort, the Liberty Pastors Conference is coming. Paul Blair, Matt Staver, who is the head of Liberty Council, and Alex Newman, among others, are going to be there and talking with pastors about what we can be doing here in this time and what some of the effective strategies are in fighting back and getting and bringing fire from the pulpit. So 16 through 19 October, and I believe it's $99 a couple to stay there for 3 days at the Coeur d'Alene Resort. If you know a pastor that needs to be sponsored to go to the Liberty Pastor Conference, sponsor it. You can find them online. Just type in Liberty Pastors, and it'll go right to the website. Paul Blair, fantastic human being, former football player, but also a great leader in the cause of freedom and liberty. And last but not least, coming October 29th, the Valley Assembly, Charlie Kirk is going to be here for a Freedom Night there at Valley Assembly. I believe it's going to start at 4 p.m., but I have to get that finalized. The bottom line is save the date, October 29th. And if you have the opportunity, join us here at On Fire Ministries every Sunday at 10 a.m. And we produce a lot of stuff out of this ministry here, and God is really moving. Share that stuff with your friends and family. May God bless all of you, and He is making this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.